Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Wednesday, June the 4th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, residents fear someone will be seriously hurt following a spate of catapult attacks in a part of Kent. It's going to be a review of a controversial decision to bring in new parking charges on the coast and why mums are being encouraged to be football coaches. But first, two men have been charged with murder following a crash in Dartford that killed a four-year-old boy. Peter's been described by his family as kind and loving. Well, reporter Davina Jethwaite joins me now on the podcast with more on this story. Davina, firstly, when and where did the fatal crash take place?
So the crash is believed to have involved two grey Ford Rangers, and it happened in New Barn Road in Southleigh on Sunday, June 1st. Emergency services told us they were called to the scene shortly after 9:30pm, and Dad Lovell, his four-year-old son Peter, and one-year-old daughter were rushed to hospital. The baby was discharged shortly after with minor injuries, and her dad remains in critical condition. Peter died at the hospital.
Incredibly sad. And can you talk us through some of the messages and tributes that have been coming in for little Peter?
So messages from heartbroken family and friends have poured in for their Peter Rabbit online, describing him as kind, loving and beautiful angel. One said, "Rest in peace, baby. A little angel way too good for this sick, cruel world. Straight to the gates of heaven." Another said, "So heartbreaking. A beautiful baby boy. Rest in heavenly peace, angel." And a third added, "You were golden, Peter. The family chain is broken and we will never be the same without you, my boy. Forever four."
And finally, Davina, tell us about the two people who've been charged.
Yep. So the following day, police arrested two men in connection with the collision. Today, on Wednesday, June 4th, the Crown Prosecution Service authorised Patrick Morn, 53, and Owen Morn, 27, both from Hillrise, Darrenth, to be charged with the murder of a four-year-old. They've also been charged with grievous bodily harm with intent and attempted wounding with intent relating to two people injured. Both are due to appear at Sevenoaks Magistrate Court today.
Davina, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A woman in her 50s has died following a stabbing in Ashford. Emergency crews were called to a property in Elson Close in the Newtown part of the area on Tuesday afternoon and found two women injured. The other, who's in her 30s, remains in a serious but stable condition in hospital. Police say they're not looking for anyone else over what happened. A woman who carried out an unprovoked knife attack in Maidstone has been sent to prison. Chelsea Dunn became violent after meeting another woman to exchange cigarettes near Sutton Road in November last year, leaving the victim with several injuries. The 31-year-old from Darwin Avenue has been locked up for 4 years. Now, if you follow Kent Online on socials, you can see a picture of a man police want to question after an attack at a nightclub in Canterbury. A man in his 20s suffered serious facial injuries at the Cuban in the High Street in the early hours of Sunday. Next today, people living on an estate in Greenhithe fear someone will be seriously hurt following a spate of catapult attacks. A woman and child in a car were targeted at St Clement's Lakes over the weekend. Wildlife has also been killed. Well, a petition's now been set up calling for the weapons to be banned. Anna Marbid lives there and has been speaking to Kristin Hawthorne from our colleagues at KMTV.
I've been living here on the estate for the last 7 years. I have, over the course of the years, just seen these incidents increase over time. I've seen the population of these birds decline. I've seen how they've just run away from this estate. They used to nest here and they just don't want to be here anymore. And that's the sad part, because there's a really huge part of our estate and it just looks all empty and disappointing now. But I've been an eyewitness on multiple occasions. I've also seen this incident happen last time, end of April, where one of the moorhen was killed and another Canadian goose was also killed. And since then, it's been happening every single month.
How does it feel, you know, living here in such a beautiful area, to have it sort of destroyed by something that is so severe but seems like it's not cared about? I mean, from the outside, it seems like a very peaceful, lovely place. But how is that reflected then?
Like I said, I think it's really changed over time. When I first came here, it was relatively peaceful. To be honest, there were not that many houses and things just got built, the population increased, and then these kind of antisocial behavior started happening. I feel very unsafe. I have a kid. I wouldn't let her go play outside. And I myself feel unsafe. I've been told, you know, when these things happen, think twice before you intervene, because on the incident that happened on Sunday, one of the kids actually aimed at the residents with the slingshot, threatening her, and she had kids in her car. So this is not just, you know, kids having fun and like thinking this is really, you know, some sort of entertainment. That's vile as it is. They're definitely going to attack a human next.
And we've had a statement through from Kent Police. This is what they've said.
Police are aware of concerns raised on June the 1st concerning the behaviour of a group of people at a lake next to Castle Ridge Drive Greenhithe. It's reported a catapult was aimed at wildlife and was also used to fire an object towards a car which was not damaged. The group had left the scene when the catapult incidents were reported and details have been passed to local officers. Enhanced patrols are operating in the area over the summer months and residents are encouraged to report antisocial behaviour to their local beat officer, PC Callum Andrews.
Kent Online reports.
A Gillingham woman and her partner have appeared in court in Bali, accused of smuggling cocaine into Indonesia in packets of Angel Delight. 29-year-old Lisa Stocker and Jonathan Collier, who's 28, were arrested in February after being stopped by customs. A third person was detained 2 days later. A former Rochester woman who lied about being sexually assaulted, leading to a man being arrested, is facing jail. Molly Green is accused of making the false claims 4 years ago. The 29-year-old, who used to live in Cook's Wharf in the High Street, pleaded guilty to perverting the course of justice. She'll be sentenced next month. A Kent pub has been allowed to keep its licence, despite undercover officers hearing a barmaid tell drinkers to hide their drugs before police arrived. The landlord of the Providence Inn in Sandgate has been forced to step down, though, and his wife has now taken over. She said they'd stepped up measures to ensure there's no antisocial behaviour. The council have issued a warning letter, but no further action was taken. Now, a new campaign is being launched to help young people across the county deal with violent situations. It's called Clock It, Check It, Change It, and it's an initiative from the Kent and Medway Violence Reduction Unit. It's all about tackling the bystander effect and encourages young people to take action or report any incidents they might see. Kaylee Walden is the coordinator and she's been chatting to Kate.
Clock It, Check It, Change It is a project we've been working with young people on to how to address having conversations to try and prevent something that someone might feel uncomfortable with. The reason we're launching it now is that we do notice that this time of year, everyone's, you know, stressed, they're going through exam periods, we're coming to the end of term, and we do have a spike in reports that come to ourselves or to schools. We work very closely with the education sectors, and we just have like a little spike of unrest and upset sometimes between student to student. And it's encouraging those conversations, encouraging noticing when someone's uncomfortable, and just noticing when something's not quite right. Like I always say, when your spider senses go off, you know, that means look into it a little bit more, you know, just look into it. Is that person uncomfortable? If you hear someone being bullied or someone saying horrible words, it could be like that, you know, then can you step in and use your words, you know, your kinder words to try and encourage that to stop so that we can learn from it together? You know, like I think we're not saying to everybody challenge, get in the middle of it and challenge it. It's what you're comfortable with. But if you notice it's not quite right, can you tell a trusted adult? You know, and that can go from bullying, or it can be, you know, if you hear there's going to be a fight after school in the park, you know, go and tell a trusted adult, because we don't want anyone to get hurt. You know, so if we can do anything to prevent that, we're preventing the harm, we're preventing encouraging it, we're preventing the videoing of it. You know, these things, they last, these things happen, or someone gets bullied, they take it home with them, you know. So if we can stop it and we can learn from it, then everyone's a bit healthier. You know, I always say change starts with a conversation, but sometimes the harm starts from a conversation. So it's that conversation back of, you know, helping each other, be kind, moving on, learning, empowering each other to do better, to be great, you know, and everyone will be happier. Let's finish our term happy.
There is that sense of, I know, you know, kids, you know, in particular, if they see something that makes them uncomfortable, you know, somebody being bullied or maybe being pushed or shoved, I think that the initial reaction is to maybe put your headphones back in or look down at your phone and not really engage with what you're seeing for fear that you could be next, you know, that you could be the next target. So it is just a sense of doing what they're comfortable in doing to put an end to that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes when we just highlight it, so the idea of the campaign is, that when you've clocked it, so you've noticed something's happened, you put your headphones back in, it's that little nudge of, oh, actually, maybe I could do something a little bit more. It's actually, I could go tell a trusted adult, I can go tell a teacher, I can tell a peer, because we all have those confident friends and we have those non-confident friends. If I just mention this to somebody else, and it's the power of one, isn't it? We always say the power of one. So when one person steps forward, others will follow you. So we all do that. You look around and you go, right, I'm the only I need to make a decision here. I'll step forward. And then suddenly you notice 10 people have stepped forward behind you. So you're never going to be on your own. It's just being brave to be that first person. You either say something yourself or, you tell a teacher. If you're not confident, but we have just nudge that thought process a little bit. Like I said, tell someone else, tell that confident friend, tell that teacher, tell, just share what doesn't feel right.
Kent Online reports.
Plans to turn a former uni building in Rochester into flats will be discussed later. An entrepreneur wants to spend £20 million transforming the old university for the creative arts campus at the top of Fort Pitt Hill. The likes of Zandra Rhodes, Tracy Emin and Karen Millen used to study there, but it closed in 2023 due to spiralling costs. Meantime, we should find out later if hundreds of flats will be built on the site of a former Tesco in Chatham. The building on the Brook was most recently a branch of Go Outdoors, and work to demolish it started in March. Developers want to build more than 300 flats and shops on the land. It's been recommended for approval. The boss of an Ashford nursery has called plans for a Ferris wheel at the designer outlet in the town to be rejected amid fears it'll put children at risk. The idea is to have the ride at the centre for 6 months of the year over the next 5 years. However, staff at nearby Cherry Tree Nursery School fear people using it will be able to look into their grounds. A decision on it's due at the end of the month. It's going to be a review of a controversial decision to bring in new parking charges in Deal and Sandwich. This is actually a story we've covered previously on the podcast. You may remember traders raised concerns the increase of nearly 40% at some sites would kill local businesses. It would have seen long stay charges jump from £10.80 to £15, but the decision has been called in by Dover Council's Overview and Scrutiny Committee. Councillor Dan Friend has been chatting to our reporter Sam Lennon.
A real victory for common sense, and a rare occasion where the executive here at Dover District Council are listening to the residents of Sandwich and across the district, that these 40% increases would have been really damaging to our businesses, our hospitality sector, and our overnight visitors. And we need to be looking after them while they're under increased pressure from government with national insurance raises and council tax and business rate rises.
Right. What would have happened if this strategy had gone ahead in Sandwich?
It would have caused untold damage to our economic activity, and hospitality businesses are already under enough pressure. Our retail businesses are barely scraping by as it is, and it would have meant real job losses and damaging impacts to our community cohesion.
Kent Online News.
A campaign started in Kent to try and encourage more women to get involved in football coaching. Research shows that 4 in 5 mums don't have any involvement in their children's sports clubs. However, more than a third want to give it a go. Faversham Strikeforce FC is one of the biggest grassroots clubs in the country and is helping to break down barriers. I've been chatting to Lee Souter, who is the club development manager there.
We have a total of 53 teams, which is covering over 800 playing membership as well, from the little ones at year R all the way through to senior men's and ladies teams and our walking football sessions. And they're all underpinned by a volunteer workforce over 170.
Which is fantastic. And this week is all about trying to raise awareness of the importance of volunteers. I mean, it sounds like you simply wouldn't be able to run if you didn't have those people there helping for free.
Absolutely. They're the heartbeat of everything we do. We rely solely on the goodwill of people to give up their time, be it on the pitch in terms of coaching, managing teams, and that network of volunteers that we have that no one really sees behind the scenes in terms of doing admin, dealing with the policies and procedures that make our club tick.
And I know you're always looking to recruit more, but we've been hearing some stats, particularly about mums getting involved in grassroots football. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So we recognise that as the women and girls provision within our club grows, it's really important that We also support the players with role models, including female coaches, and that comes predominantly, most of our volunteers are parents, so we're looking to support more mums to cross the line and get involved with coaching.
And it's great to hear that there are already some mums involved in coaching, but what would you say for anyone who's perhaps stood on the sidelines and thought, oh, I'd love to give that a go, but maybe they're a little bit nervous? What would your advice be?
I would say that that's really normal. I'd say we have a lot of volunteers within our club that love being involved now, but took a bit of a confidence leap of faith to cross that line. At our club, we really support our volunteers. We support them with education opportunities, mentoring. We have policies and procedures in place to make sure that they feel part of a family. So we'd absolutely say give it a go, test the water, see how you get on, and go from there.
I've also been speaking to Catherine Moss. She is one of the mum coaches at Faversham Strike Force.
My daughter got involved probably about a year before I started coaching. So it definitely took a while to warm me up to the idea of coaching. But I used to play football myself and I've always loved football. My husband coaches my son's team. So I guess it was probably inevitable that this would happen eventually. But it just came about that there were two coaches already on the team and they were looking for a third. And I thought it was really important for my daughter to have a female coach in the team, someone that knows about football, that loves the game and wants to be involved. So yeah, it took a lot to get me there, but I think it was one of the best things I've done and I've loved every minute.
What sort of things do you gain from it, do you think? Because obviously, as you say, you needed a bit of confidence to go and do it. But what have you learned as a person and as a coach over the years that you've been doing it?
I think I've learned a lot about myself and how to work with children. I mean, I'm not a teacher, and I think homeschooling taught me that. And working with the girls, coaching has been fantastic in terms of like my patience and listening to them and working out what engages them. And I've learned a lot from the other coaches. So I think, like Lee said, we've got an amazing support network at the club, loads of people to talk to pick their brains. And we're really lucky to have lots of other mums and other female coaches as well. So it's good to have that support network and kind of share best practice and talk about what's working, what our frustrations are, and where we can help each other.
I guess some people with volunteering think, oh, I haven't got enough time, or it's going to really eat into my life and family life. What would you say about that?
I totally understand that, and that was one of my biggest concerns was finding the time. Like I say, I work and I'm raising two children, and things are busy as a parent, you know that. But I was at training and I was at matches, so I was there spending my time on the sidelines. It obviously is more than that. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes, thinking about the team and coming up with ideas and things like that. So it's not just a straight swap in my time. There is, a few extra hours a week, but it's totally worth it. And I think, just a bit of time management and, like I say, talking to other people. I'm not doing it on my own. So yeah, it's definitely possible to find those extra few hours each week.
Maidstone restaurant has been shut after inspectors found cockroaches and mice. Pad Thai Live in the Royal Star Arcade was issued with an emergency notice following a visit at the end of May. Council officers have said there was an imminent risk to public health. Bosses say they're working to sort the problem and will reopen soon. A community open space in Tunbridge looks set to become a village green following a 9-year battle. Campaigners have been trying to have River Lawn off River Lawn Road registered as a village green to protect it from any future development. The proposals are expected to be approved during a council meeting tonight. And a new community garden's opened in Strood, giving residents a chance to grow their own food. The Salvation Army also hope the facility on Gun Lane will boost mental well-being. It'll also support their free lunch programme that provides a weekly meal to anyone in the community who needs one.
Kent Online Sport.
Football and England have been knocked out of the Women's Nations League following a 2-1 loss to Spain. Maidstone's Alessia Russo scored the only goal for the Lionesses in the first half before the hosts came from behind to secure the win last night. It says her teammate Frank Kirby announced her retirement from international football. And Gillingham have announced another pre-season friendly. They'll welcome Luton Town to Priestfield on July the 19th. The Hatters are now in League One after being relegated from the Championship and last faced the Gills in the Carabao Cup in August 2023. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks, ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.